Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling, located in New Caney, Texas. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.com.
Let's kind of transition now to the time of kind of the message. I'm going to share a little bit here for the next couple minutes, just kind of what God's put on my heart this past week. And the text that I want us to look at is in 1 Peter. Okay, 1 Peter in the Bible, and we'll have all the Bible references on the screen as well, but if you're following in a Bible, 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse 12, this is what it says. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad with his when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone does suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for myself, but also for our hearts at this time, if that's okay. Dear Heavenly Father, just we ask now that you would just be with us in this time. In these next kind of few minutes, Lord, I just pray that you'd open up our hearts, open up our minds to receiving your word in its truth. God, help me to simply share what needs to be said and not add all the, you know, stuff that isn't helpful sometimes that I know do. God, I pray that you would just help me to share really what you have put on my heart and what you once said, not a word more and really not a word less than that. We pray this all boldly in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so here's what's up. We are in the fifth week and our final day of our series that we are calling Back to Basics, okay? And so if you've been with us the past couple weeks, you know that we've been spending time in just the basics of really the Christian story. We've basically been looking at creation, okay? That was about 5 weeks ago. We looked at creation. The next week, we looked at rebellion, okay? Then we looked at redemption, okay? That's kind of a weird word. We looked at redemption, though. Then we looked at the word restoration, okay? And now today, what I want to focus our attention on, because essentially there's kind of there's the shell of the Christian story. If somebody were to ask you, like, what's the basics of the Christian faith, you could go to this series, sermon series, on our mobile app, and you could say, hey, go check out some of these. Like, here it is. This is kind of the basics of the faith. Creation, rebellion, redemption, restoration. And that is happening not just, like, over a long period of time, but it's even happening right now in our lives. And that's what I've been trying to kind of share, okay? If you're here for the first time, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, that's okay. That's okay. Even those who've been here potentially don't have a clue what I'm talking about, okay? I get that. But, you know, as we're ending this thing up, as we're kind of finalizing this series, I was thinking to myself, but there's some of you who've been listening in, and you keep going back to this thought. Yes, Seth, that sounds great, but if you knew what I was going through right now, you'd realize that I need something like for the moment, for the now. And although you've tried to paint a picture of how creation, rebellion, redemption, restoration, those kind of things are still playing out in our lives and all this kind of stuff, sure, great, awesome, but you don't understand. I continue to struggle with something like, let's say, keeping my priorities in order. And so I constantly am getting my priorities out of whack. And I'm constantly going through this kind of testing where my priorities just keep getting screwed up. Or maybe this morning, it's something like something kind of simple, like I'm just not able to stay relational with people. I continue to focus on project. I mean, almost priority kind of oriented, but I'm not, it's hard for me to be relational and see people as important. And I continue to struggle with that. Or maybe you struggle with like maybe a specific like sin of some kind, and you continue to struggle with like getting angry. And you're like, yeah, Seth, those are great concepts and ideas, but right now I need something that's like I'm going through some hardship. I'm going through kind of some struggle like right now on my own. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about essentially going through like the fire, going through the struggles and feeling some of this. Back in college, when I was in college, it was late one night, okay? It was late one night, and a buddy of mine took a match. He lit a match, okay? And then he blew it out. And then what we did is we put our arms next to each other, okay? And he put the match between his arm and my arm, okay? This is stupid, by the way. This is really stupid, okay? I'm setting up a stupid story. But we put our arms together, and the goal was to see who would pull away first. You guys ever do that? No, baloney. Baloney. Yep, probably a cigarette or something like that. Yep, we've done it. Yep, thank you. Thank you for a couple honest people in the room. Okay, you put those babies together, and he put that little match right on there, and I still, to this day, have the scar to prove it, that happened. Okay, I still have that. But when we were doing that, it's amazing because that thing is so hot, and you're just kind of like, you're focused in on it. It's hot. It's warm, isn't it? And as you start to kind of go through that fiery trial, you focus in on it. You're like, I need something to meet that need right there. Right? And some of us might be going through some things right now, and you're feeling the fire. You're feeling the heat. But then there's others of you in the room. But then there's others of you in the room. I didn't ask permission for this one. Thought maybe I'd just ask for forgiveness later. But some of you aren't feeling like the little match, right? It's all for the kids and the pyros in the room today. Some of you are feeling more than just a match. Some of you are really feeling the heat right now. Thanks, Kelly. Thanks. Yeah, don't put that on your arm, Kelly. Some of you are feeling the heat. Like some of you have people who just recently that you love and care about have died. It's not like just a little match. It's not just kind of like, I can just kind of maybe gut this thing out. Like, it's serious, and you're feeling the heat. Like it's hurting. I mean, could you imagine putting that torch on your body? And some of you are feeling that kind of stuff this morning. You know people who have cancer, and you're walking through now this process of doing cancer and the new norm of what that looks like in your family. Some of you are feeling that right now. Some of you are feeling the financial burden of some kind in your life. You're feeling the heat as loan person after loan person keeps calling you and keeps calling you and keeps calling you. Some of you are feeling the heat of relationships and brokenness in your family as your spouse like walks out on you. Some of you are feeling that. Some of you are feeling like the deep pain and hurt that comes with all of these kinds of things, and who knows what else. And right now, it's not just like there's a little match on you and just kind of like, burns me a little bit. No. It's like you're getting put through the ringer. You're getting burned up, and you're feeling it. If that's you this morning, I want to direct our attention to 1 Peter again, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, dearly loved, all you who are so loved, do not be surprised at the fiery trials. Don't be surprised when you start to go through the fiery trials that might come your way. When it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised at the fiery trials. That might be you this morning. And if that's you, here's what I want to say. Here's what I want to tell you. I want to share three things. Here's what it doesn't mean. Here's what it doesn't mean. Okay, typically I spin things in more of like a positive way. Today it's, what does it not mean? When I start to face trials, when I start to face struggles and pain and hardship, what doesn't it mean? Here's what it doesn't mean. First thing, it doesn't mean you've done something necessarily wrong. It doesn't mean that something is, you've messed up somehow. See, our culture kind of says this a little bit, doesn't it? Our culture teaches something like, if you screw up, then you're going to face some kind of pain or hardship. Like, if life kind of sucks, like, it's because you've sucked it up. If life kind of blows, like, you've blown it up, which I was kind of nervous about that with this thing. I don't think I actually put anybody at risk. I don't think. Got it out of here, Kelly. Nice job. Fire marshal, be here this day. But if like life is terrible, like you must have done something to make it terrible, right? And it's interesting because our text actually speaks a teeny tiny bit about something like that. Look at, so it's not like that's not possible. Look at what Peter says in verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Could you do something that would move it so that your life is looking kind of crummy over here? Yes. Could you do something where life would be made so that you'd have to suffer? I mean, might you actually, you know, over here, you might do something, okay? You might do drugs or something like that. I'm just kind of making this up quick. You might do drugs, then like Jesus might get a hold of you and change your life. Well, that's great, but you still on this side of it might struggle with like the drugs the rest of your life. You know what I'm saying? You might still have like been messed up, or it could be you might have made a mistake over here relationally, and then you know there's forgiveness and hope and all this stuff. But you might come out on this side of it and still struggle with the consequences and sufferings that come from bad mistakes and bad things. Yes, that's true, but it's not like that's all the time. It's not like if somebody gets cancer that you've done something wrong. That's one of the first places we go. Man, I must have done something wrong. And we start to feel the heat, and what it doesn't mean is it doesn't mean, don't be, what does that text say? It's not on the screen. Don't be surprised. It's telling us, don't be surprised by this. Ah, I must have done something wrong. You know, it's interesting. In the Bible, the disciples actually kind of make a cultural move. In John, okay, in John chapter 9, Jesus and the disciples are walking around and they see a blind guy. And listen to what it says. As he passed by, he saw a blind man from birth. And his disciples asked him, well, watch what they ask him. Rabbi, who sinned? This guy? Or did his parents sin? Who sinned? Who made the mistake? Who made the mistake so that now, of course, this guy's got to be blind? Who screwed it up? The blind guy, his parents, somebody else, some culture? Who screwed it up? And what does Jesus say? Jesus says, you guys are missing the point. Nobody sinned. It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Here's a guy who's been born. He's been suffering. He's been feeling the heat of fire his entire life. You see what I'm saying? It's not that he sinned or his parents sinned. It's that the works of God might be displayed in him. Listen, this is my take-home point. God works in the fire. God does some of his best work in the heat. That doesn't sound too fun. Sounds like that kind of sucks. Well, just hold on a second here. Now, I was thinking about Jesus. I was thinking of Jesus the night that he was betrayed. The night that he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, okay? The next day, he goes to the cross and dies. And the next day, he actually suffers hell for you and for me. He suffers the heat of hell for us. And it's that night before when Jesus is right, it almost kind of feels like he's at hell's gates. And Jesus goes to his knees in prayer. And what does it say? Look at this. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat, became like drops of blood. Jesus is feeling the heat. Jesus is feeling, he knows what's coming. And even Jesus, according to his humanity, even Jesus goes to the Father right here in this prayer. And he says, Father, is there maybe another way? That's the question we ask, isn't it? All the time. Might there be another way? And the Father, in his not saying anything, says, this is where I'm going to do my greatest work. And Jesus begins to suffer hell itself, the heat of hell, for you and for me. Whew. Did Jesus do anything wrong? No. This was the will of the Father. And Jesus would walk this thing out. Okay, it doesn't mean you've done something wrong if you're feeling the heat this morning. Now, if you did something really stupid and you're feeling the heat for that and the cops are after you, well, that's on you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? How much you, yeah. Suffering may be right in line with where God has you, guys. Okay. Suffering, the suffering you're going through, the heat you're feeling, might be actually right in line with where God has you today. That's the first thing. It doesn't mean you've done something wrong. But see, that's for a purpose. The will of God in this might be for the very purpose of, I would say, my second thing. It doesn't mean, if you're feeling heat this morning, it doesn't mean you don't have faith. That's one of the biggest things I hear from people. Maybe I don't have strong enough faith. Maybe I don't believe enough. And I think this is a real struggle for people as they start to feel the heat. As they start to feel stuff that's going on around them. Listen, this word here, okay, this word, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, okay, we're in the same book, but we're moving to a different chapter here. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Which that word trials there, I don't have the other one up here, but in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, where it used the word test, okay? The word test and the word trials is the exact same word in the Greek, okay? It's the same word, the testing, the trials that we're going through. Okay, so this is just a little earlier in his writing here. He says, though for a little while, if necessary, you might have to go through some various trials. And then watch what it says. So that the tested genuineness of your faith. More precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Listen, so many times I hear, maybe I don't have enough faith. Listen, I would look at this and I would say, if you're going through the heat this morning, it's not to say, see, you're faithless. It's about being faithful. It's about God working in you, not because of the absence of faith, but because God is actually working faith in and towards you. God is working that for the growth of your faith. Do you understand that? That is so huge, because when you start to feel the heat, one of the first moves is, I've done something wrong. Maybe I don't have any faith. And I would actually argue it's the fire, the fiery trials that we should not be surprised we will endure. The whole point of it is for faith. The whole point of it is to work and grow faith, to deepen our relationship with the one who's all about faith. I was thinking this past week, what really got me thinking about my torch, this is disgusting, by the way, but my garbage can outside of our house where you put trash in, okay? You know, you put your trash in your garbage can. Well, there must have been a fly that laid some eggs. You ever have this? Laid eggs in there, and then like a day later or whatever it is, these little, what are they called? Maggots, thank you. Nasty. Everybody starts looking around. These maggots, there's like 500 of them, 1,000, 1,000,000, 1,000,000,000 is what it looked like, on our trash can, everywhere. And so in my, like, it's one of the first moments where I ever looked at my trash can and I felt bad for it. I was just like, I feel so bad for my trash can. So I literally went into my garage and I got my torch and I just came out there and just started killing them all. It was kind of weird how good it felt, but I'm just killing all thousands, tens of billions of maggots. I'm just killing them all. I'm like in my garbage can, just my neighbor comes out. He's like, you know, I mean, it just looks terrible. Like I'm, you know, burning my house down and I'm just killing them all. But what am I trying to do? I'm burning away the maggots. I love my trash can. I want my trash can back. I want to just be able to touch my trash can. See, sometimes we start to feel the fire because there's things that need to be killed off of us. There's things that need to die. There's things that need to get rid of it in my life. See, and sometimes the very fiery trials we go through, for the genuineness of our faith, it's for the sake of taking faith, running it through the reamer, beating on it. You might do another analogy, beating the tar out of it. You know, like an anvil kind of thing. Beating it, shaping it, molding it, to strengthen it, to help it, to establish it even deeper. Because, see, in the end, it's kind of like, is there faith or is there not? See, even if life is great, guys, even if life is good, you still end up having to deal with this fiery trial called death. You still end up having to go, and at some point, you suck in for the last time, and you breathe out. And at some point, you will have to face death itself, and it will be a fiery trial. And when that happens, what's there? What's left? Will it be faith? Or will it not be faith? faith in Jesus Christ, who has suffered the heat of hell for you and for me, to get us thinking and looking to him even more and more and more in our life. See, it's not about being faithless. We always think of, like, maybe I don't have any faith. Maybe it's not about faithless. It's about faithful. It's about filling our faith. It's about filling you up with what you need the most. But the Apostle Paul says it like this. He says, I don't even live anymore. Christ lives in me. See, I have been crucified with Christ. I'm like, there's parts of me like the maggots that need to die in my life so that in the end it's faith in Christ and what he's done for me. I don't know. I don't know how you're hearing that exactly, but it's not necessarily because you've done something wrong. It's not that you don't necessarily have faith. I mean, there's people, we might not have faith. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I'm talking to kind of the believers in the room, like, it doesn't mean you don't have faith if you're going through the fiery trials. Don't be surprised. And the last thing, my last point is this. It doesn't mean that God isn't with you. And I would actually argue the opposite. I would actually argue the opposite right from our text this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13. Look at this. Look at this. 1 Peter 4, verse 13. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. Rejoice in your connectedness to the very sufferings of Christ. As a follower of Jesus Christ, there will be sufferings that you will have to endure. Especially as a new creation, and I'm not going to get into it too much, but for those of you that have been following through our series, especially as a new creation living still with the old, that tension will still continue to, it will cause you suffering. It will cause you suffering that you have to engage with and endure, okay? It's not necessarily persecution like some of our brothers and sisters have to face around the world. Well, that might be someday, but right now that's not necessarily the trial we have to go through. But there's other things we have to go through. And some of it is the new creation is rubbing always against the old. Okay? But listen to this. It doesn't mean God isn't with you. As we rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Watch verse 14. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed. There's so many things we could teach on here. Because the Spirit of glory and of God, what? Rests upon you. It's not God isn't with me. It's that in the fiery trial, God is right there with you. He's right in the middle of it with you. It's where he does some of his best work. As he continues to draw your attention away from this world, away from yourself, and focus it more and more on Christ Jesus, who's died for you, who loves you, who's forgiven you, and who's not only died, okay, and as we're connected to his suffering, what does it say? That we might be connected to his glory. As he's resurrected from the dead, we're connected to that as well. So even when you go through the very fiery trial of death itself, in the very end, you take your last breath and blow out for the last time. Your faith is in the one who's risen from the dead. It's not that Jesus is absent from your life through the fiery trials. It's that he's right there with you in the middle of it. The whole point, this is why the cross is such a big deal. Because Jesus on the cross says, Father, Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, Jesus had God be absent from him so that he'd be close to us. That's huge. I want to finish up because I just need to finish here. I want to finish with a text from Isaiah. This is one I would highlight in your Bible. Take this one to the bank, folks. Look at this. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. And the flame will not consume you. There are those of you in this room who are struggling right now. You're going through it. You're feeling the heat. Not just a little match. You're feeling the full blow of Seth's torch. It doesn't mean you've done something wrong. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. It doesn't mean that God isn't with you. In fact, it's where he does some of his best work. And as the church, we'll continue to walk with you through that. If you've not shared this with somebody else to walk with you in this, yes, God wants to walk with you, but even as a church, we want to walk with you through that fiery trial. There's a lot of people in this room feeling that right now. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we give you thanks and praise. That even when we feel the fiery trials in this life, you have certain promises that you give to us, namely the promise that you are with us, that you do allow us to go through some of these things for the sake of our faith, and that it's not because we've done something wrong, but in fact, it actually could be because we're right on track. It's right where we need to be. We're actually right where you would have us be. And that can be hard, Lord. I'm not trying to get like talk about this in a like super easy, simple kind of way. We're all Mickey Mouse here. No. It's hard. It's just flat out hard and difficult, and we're going through it. But I thank you for the promises that you are with us, that you do care about our faith, and that you are working to strengthen our faith. And I thank you, God, that you do some of your greatest work in the midst of this. And let that bring comfort and peace to some people today. God, thank you for the hell that you went through for us. Thank you for suffering the heat, the eternal heat of hell itself, so that we don't have to. So that those who have their faith in Jesus Christ would be saved. The way, the truth, the life. God, keep us on that track. Continue to burn off the garbage in our life. Continue to burn off all those little nasty bugs and stuff that just cling so quickly to our faith. Because in the end, it's faith in you, Jesus, that matters most. Thank you for how you work, Lord. Keep us focused on you. We pray this all. Just really quick, God, there's just people, some people going through so hard of things. I'm not trying to make light of it, Lord. Help them to open up with some other people, too, who could start doing life with them, walking with them through this as we share each other's burdens. We surrender those people to you as well this morning. In Jesus' name.